Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья, начинаем наш воскресный вебинар.
Good day, dear friends, we're starting our Sunday webinar. Today with us is Dr. Michael Leitner.
Hello.
And Principal Tsarkovsky. And I'm Simeon Nakor. We're the instructors for the International Academy of Kabbalah. Our topic today is the spiritual topics of the calendar. We're going to talk about the new year maybe a little bit, what it means to Kabbalists.
Good. I'll need to talk about the new year. New year is a new beginning. A year in Hebrew is shana, which means lishanen, to repeat. There are four repeats each year. There's the revelation around the sun, and then there are phases of the moon, which we know what they are, and then there are four seasons. All of this is based, of course, on the ten sefirot, or when the ten sefirot are divided into 4 times 3, which is 12, which is why there are 12 months. There is a division into 6 parts of Zerampin times 10, which is 60, which is why we have 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour. There are 12 hours because there is Chabad Hagat Neim, 12 parts in the Partsuf, in the spiritual, as if during the day and at night, through the light of Hasidim and through the light of Chachma, which is why we have 12 months. 12 hours during the day and 12 hours at night, and in the year there are 12 months. There's a leap year that has 13 months. There's a very special year, which is the 7th year, and a special year, which is the 50th year. Everything is built on a correlation between the phases of moon, sun, and earth, in the changes between the moon and the sun and the earth. The measurement according to the sun doesn't give us all of the specifics of our calendar, the schedule of our existence. That's what a calendar is. The moon either doesn't give us all of the specificities of our existence and doesn't structure life completely, and Earth in its rotation in 24 hours around its exit under a certain angle, all of this is calculated. By the way, there's a very interesting book which is called The Work of the Creator. It is a book that was written by Kabbalists, but it's not a Kabbalistic book. It's built on charts, sketches, astronomical sketches. It's very difficult to figure it out. I think I have it somewhere. All these things are talked about there. By the way, based upon this, the Christian calendar is founded based on the sun. The Muslim calendar is based on the moon, and the Jewish one is based on the moon and the sun together with the earth in 3 lines, as we say. Left, right, and the middle. Left line is the Christian calendar, right line is the Islamic one, and the middle one is Israel, which includes within it the moon, earth, and sun. Which is why this calendar is the most accurate one. It was created 1,000 years ago from the ancient Babylon, and then was confirmed around 2,200 years ago by Rav Yehuda. He checked this calendar once again and has confirmed its correctness. And since then, it does not change. Holidays remain on the same days. The holidays never correspond to different times during the year like it does in other calendars. So this middle line is maintained, and which is why it's always stable.
You can say that in 2,000 years you're going to have a date, and there's going to be this holiday.
There is a calendar, yep. And just like in a calendar, in a computer, you could predict a certain time in the future. But in our time with this calendar, because this calendar is built in three lines, which is why it's very consistent. There are four seasons in the year, as I already said, and there are four new years. There are four new years. It's a new year that begins from around September, the Jewish New Year. There's a new year of the trees, which is Tu Bishvat. There's a spring new year, and then there's a summer new year. So there's a beginning of corresponding degrees. Everything occurs according to the Tesferot, because there exists, starting from Keter, Chochmah bin Azrampin and Malchut, and everything else is built in this way. Nature is structured in such a way that there's a correspondence between planets, and everything works in this way. What else do I need to say about this?
No, this is all very beautiful.
Maybe unclear. Aside from this, there exists a very interesting correlation between days and weeks. This is very interesting. There exists a spiritual tool and an instrument. It's called Azer Ampin. Light goes inside of it from Bina, by the way. It enters it, and then Malchut is enclosed into it. It has these slits through which Malchut shines. So when this hole or slit corresponds with a receiver, a soul, a Malchut, then this light enters it. And that's what's called a one's fate, or destiny, rather. You hear this for the first time, right? I don't want to make this too material, but it's done in this way. So, there's a very particular correlation between days, nights, and times. Let's say if there's something that I can do in a particular day, at night, in a particular hour, I could do the same thing in a different day, during the day, during a different hour, and it will have the same consequences. You know, we can see here how we're being influenced by the light of Bina, and we, in relation to that, to Zerampin and Malchut, we place ourselves constantly with a difference, our different sides towards our destiny. What else can I say? Let's say about the starry sky. Astronomical charts were composed a long time ago in Judaism. Columbus was using it when he was traveling to Americas. Newton used them as well. And so on. These things are known from a long time ago. Abraham himself was a big astronomer and astrologist, which is why he knew all this.
Babylon was famous because astrology started their magic astrology.
Yeah, Abraham was a founder of astrology and perhaps astronomy. Astrology wasn't like it is today, certain assumptions and predictions, but it was a very particular exact connection between the positions of Earth, Moon, and Sign in relation to a particular person, in relation to his soul, when was he born, when was he conceived, like his entire map. If we knew all of this, then we would know one's entire destiny. We would know everything that would happen to this person, how he would act, and we wouldn't need to assume or theorize about anything. Everything would be predicted. That's a map of our destiny. Of course, all of this is in relation to the new year, which is why... It's preferable to relate to it in the correct way. The next year that is before us is the new year of the trees. We know that the egoistic desire is composed of 4 degrees. So the still desire begins with the true new year in September, then the desire of the vegetative, it's in the new year of the trees, it's the 15th month of Shvat. I think it's, it will occur in about a month. It happens in the middle of February usually. You can look up in the calendar. Then we have the animate new year, and then we have the new year of the human. The intervals between them are very special. I wouldn't want to go into that too deep. Do we have any questions?
This year is January 20th.
20th of January, the new year of the trees. Okay. Which is when nature is reborn. And in Israel, the trees are planted.
It's interesting that a day also divides into 12 and 12 hours, but not based on the counting.
Yes, thanks that you reminded us. Hours are not according to our watch. 24 hours in a day, just like I wanted to say about the 4 seasons in a year, 4 new years in a year. So these they don't correspond to 4, 4, 4, and 4, so that there are 12 months. They have a very dynamic schedule, just like we have a dynamic schedule at night and in the summer. In the winter, nights are shorter and days are shorter and nights are longer. In the summer, it's the opposite. So we consider an hour not 60 minutes, that each minute has 60 seconds, but each hour is considered a unit. An hour is a unit, and it's not constant. It depends when you look at it, when you take it and observe it. Let's say from we have dawn, and here we have the dusk, or sunrise and sundown, rather. Sundown here, and here we have a sunrise. This in the middle is 12 hours. From the next sunrise to sunset, it's also considered 12 hours, even though, according to earthly hours, it will be 20 hours, and the night will be 4 hours, let's say. When there's light and when there's darkness. In this case, the daily hour and the nightly hour are very different. And that's why there exists, this is very similar to the sundial. You know, when you place a stick and you see the shadow of the sun. And you can see, according to the clock face, to the shadow, that it's not even. It's not consistent. Maybe it's almost like a logarithmic scale. That's how it's built. By the way, there are a lot of people, old men in Jerusalem. They still live according to this sunrise and sunset, according to these hours. Their day and night and hours in the day are determined by according to these hours. And they truly have these hours, that these clocks. That what's interesting, if you want to create such a clock, Switzerland makes such a clock and they're very expensive. But every day they change. So every day the night and the day hours change, which is why the hour itself changes every day. These hours are very interesting. They depend on part Suf of Zerampin in the world of Asilut, which controls all of these actions, because when light passes through it onto Malchut, which is us, it controls all of this. It determines all of these things. And we, if we knew exactly how all of this is formed and acts, we would feel this system, this huge astronomical system that is around us and within which we exist and which acts upon us in this way. And then we would be able to go into its inner parameters. What do these things mean for us, except from the fact that there's more light or less light, or warmer or colder? What does it mean if we would work according to these hours and live according to these hours? We would have a different life altogether. That's on one hand. And on the other hand, how can we exist within all of this humongous mechanism? Why does it need to be such? Why does it need to affect us in a certain way? If we would restructure ourselves and live according to it, how would we feel nature and ourselves, each one of us? That's very interesting. We would perhaps begin to feel it in accordance to its influence upon us. Surrounding world, space, stars would shine upon us in a different way. I think one day we'll come back to this. And in the meantime, this is a little bit about the calendar and about what happens in this. How else is this unique, these calendars? As I've already said, the Christian one is based according to the sun, and the Islamic one is based on the moon, and they shift from summer to winter, and holidays can occur at different times of the year. The one that's built in three lines, it's a very constant one. It's fixed. That's it. Maybe you have questions.
Yeah, what is time in spiritual and what is time in the material? Because we went between these two concepts, people from Kiev is asking.
Here we're starting to discuss the roots and consequences. In the spiritual, time is not time as we know it, that just goes by. It is an actions that are necessary for changing a particular parameter in the soul. If this parameter in the soul has not changed, then time has not passed. Yes, that's how it is. And if it changed, then based on the frequency of the changes that occurred, you can talk about time. Time all on its own does not exist. It is determined by an object that changes, which is why the frequency of this change determines time.
So if we don't change, the time in spiritual doesn't pass.
Within you, if a person doesn't change, then he doesn't live.
So we are in this life exists like this.
So he lives according to his animalistic body and determines everything according to his animalistic time. It's not a spiritual life. No, it's not a spiritual life. Spiritual life is an amount of changes that determine time.
What does it mean, a leap year, a leap month?
A leap year is, there are a couple of modifications that came to us from astronomy, certain additions that occur once every 4 years, once every 17 years, and once every 50 years. All of this is in order to balance the left and the right lines in the middle line. What's interesting, once every 4 years is simply you add one more month. Once 7 years, it's not a month that added, but it's called Shemitah. It's called a release year, when the earth is released, when soil is released, when you're forbidden to harvest. Whatever you'll have, you'll have. You will not be hungry. If you will follow everything that you have followed on during the 6 years, then on the seventh year, don't harvest. It's forbidden. It's completely forbidden.
There's a question, what am I gonna, if I don't plant anything, what am I going to eat?
No, no question. If you follow these forces, then you're in complete correspondence with the laws of nature, which is why don't be worried. You will have a harvest, and then on the seventh year, you will not need to harvest, or so there are certain laws how not to intervene with still a vegetative nature on the seventh year. So it's called Shemitah.
There's also a 50th year.
Yeah. So someone sold or bought a land from somebody on this 50th year. Everything is returned. Everything is returned back. If there are certain properties that needs to be returned. It's usually meant that it's somebody's land. The land needs to return to its original owner. Who is the original owner? When in Torah it was written, you have come to this land, and this land was given out to everyone, then it said that everyone had a piece of land. And all of this is written in the Torah. Everything is recorded. Which is why when people, when they were living in this land, then every 50th year, land was returned to its original owner. And during the 50 years, this land could have been rented out to be worked on. These are very serious laws. They're recorded and stated many, many years ago, thousands of years ago. There are very particular documents that were signed and authorized legally. And a lot of people were participating in this. It had to be, these laws had to be formatted in a particular way. But the main thing here is that by following these laws, by the way, these laws are active only in Israel. Outside of the borders of Israel, they don't really have any meaning or necessity. So fulfillment of these laws implied that people received a very particular addition to their harvest and life force.
The question is there any special sort of light that shines during the holidays?
During this holiday of New Year, I wouldn't say there's a particular light or illumination. It's a civil New Year. Just like we celebrate any other holiday. It's a very pleasant holiday. Everyone loves it. But spiritually, there's no such root. Meaning the new year on the 31st. Which is why there's no particular illumination here. But on the other side, on the other hand, when people want to connect, if they connect together with good, kind connections and want to attract this upper light, then they can do this anytime, regardless of time, night, or day, or year.
So you're saying very beautifully that a holiday can be at any day.
When people unite, it's a holiday.
There's a lot of questions on this topic, and the stars and calendars. Can Kabbalah help a person change the map of one's destiny if it's been designed according to the stars?
Our destiny is very clearly written out. If we take the initial point of our path and the final point of our path,
then
a soul will need to go through all of these stages. You won't be able to do anything about it. You will need to reach your final destination, your realization. That's the first point. You can say point A. The soul comes out of there and goes until point B. But everything depends on how you will go through it. Either you will go through it fast or slow, or you will fall and then climb, or maybe you will be flying from one point stage to another. You can be in very serious suffering in the minus, or you can be in the plus. This depends on you. The final point is predetermined for each one of us, which is why what the method of Kabbalah gives us is so that for you not to slow down your time, you can perhaps be at this point, point N, and you can move from point N to point M you can go between those points in a matter of a few lives and huge suffering, or you can do it in a very speedy way in flight our aspiration is based on time and the quality of our aspiration. This is what the method of Kabbalah gives you. It lets you see the entire picture, what's before you. It allows you to approximate the final goal. Each stage of this path is an attainment of this final goal, but in a greater and greater and greater amplitude. It's called Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Yechida, or 125 degrees. Oh, 125 degrees of gradual development of the soul. And each time when you develop it, you feel how you're attaining it and revealing nature, include yourself in this nature, and you begin to understand that it starts to appear to you as this amazing symphony. It draws you in, allows you to be integrated and participate in it. These are very, very great pleasures, attaining these harmonies. When each part in all of its billions and billions of states, when it is included with all others in this brilliant inclusion. Question from Bishkek. can you go in a straight line, or do you always go on a sinusoidal wave?
As it says, there is no righteous person who doesn't trip up. But the point is that you have to trip and, of course, straighten out right away and understand where it's coming from and so on.
For this period of time, won't be too long.
Yeah, for this period of time to be so that you'd be able to do everything, and even these trip-ups, they would be as though searches. They would inspire a person and not let him fall nose first into the dirt.
Yeah. Now it's clear that while Kabbalah was concealed, astrology became very popular because it describes a certain phenomena.
Kabbalah doesn't talk about it. Only who knows about all this? Only Kabbalah. So only those who are interested in this. I would read about these topics because during lectures I was asked questions, and I read about this for myself. But for the most part, Kabbalah is a science. If you study it, then you develop these topics and you get closer to it, you see its connection to everything else. And if not, then it's concealed, it doesn't reveal itself to you. The same as in any other science.
We have a very large group on the screen, Sochi.
Sochi, what you want to ask? Go ahead.
Please tell me, if Tesferot corresponds to 10 planets, then why have we only revealed 9 planets? Is there some sort of a route to this?
No, I don't know. There's a lot of things written about it. I'll send you something about this, but there's a lot of things written about this in Zohar. But I was never really interested in this, although when I was a child I studied astronomy, but as soon as I began studying Kabbalah, these consequences, Kabbalistic in our world, never really interested in me. What was the point? You see, I don't know. The thing is, in reality there's even more planets. Kabbalah predicted them even long ago, and we spoke about this, and I'll try to find these topics for you.
When in Torah it said that planets have appeared in the sky, what was it really talking about?
This isn't talking about these planets. It's very difficult for me to speak about this. Why am I stumbling here? Because Torah, when it talks about these, it doesn't have the material, the corporeal planets in mind. It talks about spiritual forces. Earth is a spiritual force, the sun, the moon. It's not what we have now, what we see and observe. Even though we build the earthly calendar, we need to understand precisely where is it talking about spiritual sources and where is it talking about their consequences. This is difficult.
Well, in other words, there's constantly work with the desire. It's like an exercise.
Hey, I admit that the question stands.
After this, it was said that everything is written in the stars. The sages say that stars do not conquer, do not rule over Israel.
We're talking about signs, and when we connect together, we rise higher than stars, because it talks about the material, vegetative and animal and human state, and we become similar to the Creator. We go beyond the boundaries of these things, and even beyond the boundaries of the Creator. As it says that I have defeated my sons have defeated me, I rise above this control, even higher than where he controls me.
A friend from Moscow is asking, what is a moment in time?
A moment is the point of Zivug Daka, the precise moment of contact between the intention of the Creator and a creature, and from creature to the Creator, when they have this mutual meeting, I am to him and he is to me. Then this precise contact, it's called a moment.
Our Tom is asking, my initial point of my path is my birth, and the final point is death?
No, there's no life or death. No, this doesn't exist here. The beginning point is the initial point of your spiritual path, and the final path is the final path, final point of your spiritual path, which is at the moment of your complete correction, and in that you enter into a different state about which Kabbalah doesn't speak about. It only speaks about point from point A to point B, what we drew here, and what is before this point A, before point A. This is our material, earthly path. And what happens after point B, this is not spoken about anywhere, because this is an absolute state. Absolute. This isn't spoken about. Why isn't it spoken about? There's no secrets anywhere. We just can't describe it. In our using our symbols, our words, our tongue is incapable of passing this information. Because there's no, how to say this, our qualities. You can't say that something is lacking, something is there, you add something, you take something away. All of our states, they're all built on a certain lack and a certain fulfillment, certain lack, certain fulfillment, and so on. And there you have a completely different state of existence, which is connected into the Creator at an absolute state.
Friend is asking, are there more fortunate or unfortunate times? Let's say the destruction of the temple was an unfortunate time, and coming out of Egypt was a very fortunate time.
Yes, you can say that. And we have these times in our calendar. The worst time, of course, is around the time of 9th of Av. This is in the summer. The 9th day of the month of Av. And the most fortunate time is around the time of Purim. It's the month of Adar. This is...
Continuing on this topic. Victor is asking, how can a Kabbalist use, aside from his internal calendar, special lights of the external calendar? The most fortunate times occur winter or summer.
No, this only really means something to people who are not participating in spiritual development. Those who participate in spiritual development, they're not under the control of any calendar. They have their own individual path of development from point A to point B. And for him, there is no night, winter, day, leap year or regular year. He doesn't have any of this. He doesn't have times of year, seasons. He is not under the influence of any calendar. He has inner states. Those are his calendars.
Gregor is asking, if everything is predetermined by the Creator...
Not everything is predestined.
Well, he's asking, is it possible, if I know this is possible, to approach this in a different way and go through it faster?
Yes, but these things are not predestined. Yes, the path from A to B is very precise, because you have to reach the root of your soul. From point A to point B, it... descend it down, and you have to, with your own efforts, go from point A to point B. There's other ways how we draw this, if you remember. Those who study with us, we draw it as though in three lines. You have the first lines when it comes down from the world of infinity to our world, then you have the history of our world, and then you have the ascent to the world of infinity. One, two, and three lines, so-called vectors.
Or states.
So you have 6,000 years here in our world, the descent and the ascent, they have no practical time. But we, of course, return to our root. And this is our earthly path.
The first third is another time, and the first is earthly.
Second is earth.
A friend is asking, what is the full cycle of the spiritual states within a year?
An earthly year consists of a full cycle of earth, sun, and the moon when they complete their first complete revolution. Where should each one be and in which states with respect to each other? These things can be calculated. This is what astronomy is.
Kiev. Question from Kiev. Hello. Please tell me, time, the definition of time in our world, it leaves a lot of restrictions, places a lot of restrictions on us. A person practically doesn't have time or opportunity to feel anything. Work, home, and all of this obstructs more and more. How can Kabbalah help us feel ourselves above this time? What is this organ that allows us to feel it?
When you begin to study Kabbalah, you have a different sensation of time. You begin to see what's important and what isn't, and everything regroups. And really all depends on how you create this time, the schedule of your life, and all these things, and so on. And you'll begin to feel that time is very subjectively felt.
Вне человека времени как бы нет. Мы не знаем, что есть вне человека. И вам вдруг может казаться, что секунда, она...
It will seem to you that a second will be very lengthy from beginning to end.
You will begin to feel this. When you start to study Kabbalah, everything will appear for you. But Kabbalah teaches us to treat everything that we have as though coming from above. The fact that you have obligations with family, work, and you have to also dedicate time to perfecting your soul, well, what can you do? These are the conditions that are placed upon us. They all come from the same spiritual root. So don't run away from anything, but studying Kabbalah, you will see that you have the ability to organize everything differently.
More questions. According to which hours is the correct way to measure my life?
Internally, do everything in such a manner where you're always aspiring towards the Creator. What we are studying in the book of Shamati and others, articles. If you are correctly aimed towards this, then you're really fully realizing your life.
Pavel is asking how the lack of knowledge and lack of keeping these laws influence our lives.
This is a whole system where the upper governance pushing you forward more or less, depending on your efforts and depending on the construction of your soul and how it can and must act in correcting the other souls. It's not simple. Vilnius has a question. Vilnius?
Hello, dear Rav. Once again, about time. We are asked, how many years, how much time do you study Kabbalah? And when we're looking at how many years we're studying Kabbalah, there's a certain memory loss. With our minds, we understand that it's 5, 3, or 15 years, but with your heart, it seems like there's no time.
It really is like this. We can say how long we've been studying Kabbalah based on the calendar, hours. But in reality, our studies don't give us the sensation of how much time we've spent studying. And the more a person studies, the more it seems that he has been studying less and less. Because the more you advance forward, you feel that you haven't really acquired much of anything. On one hand, everything more or less becomes understood, and it feels that as though the times, they become confused. But this is something that you can say is a sign of advancement. This is very good if you feel this way.
A similar question from Dmitry. How does the speed of development of the soul influence on the earthly time?
Earthly time is measured by qualities. For example, I'm at the eve of this new year. What do I think about it? I hope that this new year will be a good year. What does it mean, good? If I will listen to what's being spoken about or written about in all the media, I'm not going to say anything good. So what's good for me? For me, what's good is when humanity begins to realize why it feels bad. Not that it feels bad or that it feels good, but why does it feel bad? When the humanity begins to realize this, then I'm happy. Because this is already a step towards a degree towards correction. And I hope that we are in this in such a state now when this new year, it will show to everyone, all people, that they are not in a great state, that they are not moving in the right direction. That their future depends on their correct unification, unity, and nature is not letting them feel this, and that's why they don't have anything positive in the future. And there's only one positive, good solution here: to find the path, the means to changing one's nature. What can we do in order to change ourselves? To make such people out of each other, where we'd be able to unite, connect, mutually help one another. If we can unite amongst one another in such a manner, we're not going to have any problems. Look at what is happening in the world with all of the with everything that we have around us. Look how much we're hurting our ecology and how much we're depleting the earth and using our resources. Can you see how much we are spending on armaments and how much we're spending on war? How much happier can we be if we would not have spent resources on this? And this only depends on our nature. So instead of arming ourselves, instead of burning fossil fuels, we're depleting the planet where we exist. We have to pay attention to ourselves. If people realize that the key to happiness is in correction of a person, and this is the only direction we should be moving towards, then we'll begin to explain to people how we can reach this. And I really hope that this year we're going to get closer to this. People will begin to realize that we have no place to go, and that a new world war, it can really be devastating. And in reality, we see that Europe tried to unite, and they're not having much success with this market. And the same, nowhere, and we'll have this Brexit everywhere repeating itself, and we'll have different requests towards one another, and this will only give us suffering. We must only come towards the realization of evil. St. Petersburg?
No.
Hello. Please tell me, what is the connection between the period of development of the fetus, the 9 months, and the development of the soul?
It's very precisely connected. If you take the study of the 10 sefirot, this is a six-volume book in Kabbalah, and you begin to study it from the 10th, from 10th part. 10th part is called embryo. The 11th part is called feeding. It talks about a soul. It doesn't talk about a baby that we're holding in our arms. It talks about a soul that is that is birthed inside the spiritual system, what is called from a father and mother inside a mother, and then it is born and so on. And what happens in our world, it's like a copy.
It said that a third day this the semen is attached.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are written about in there very precisely. Even I think we have in Russian some things.
The 10th part is not translated in its entirety.
But these things are very interesting. Take a look at the books in Russian, and maybe not, if not books, then maybe in our archive you'll see lessons about this. It's very interesting to read about this because it describes precisely to us in much greater level of detail what is known to us in our from our life. Because Kabbalah talks about such a thing that in our world we can't really reveal or discover. We understand how a person is, how the process of a person being conceived happens, but internally how we don't, from the level of a soul, we don't understand how it happens. We don't understand we don't understand the meaning, or why exactly does it happen like this, or why is it built in such a manner. It's a very interesting system because it's a system that's similar to the Creator, what's in the Creator. It's very interesting.
It's interesting that Kabbalists have written about this 3,000 years ago.
But Kabbalists wrote about this based on their understanding of the upper systems.
40 days, 7 months, it's very interesting.
Yes, of course, 7 months or 9 months or 12 months. There were situations when a woman would give birth at 12 months.
And then there's the feeding until 2 months, 2 years, 24 months.
Yeah, and the person, you should feed a child up to 2 years old, and when the person is born, how it needs to be born, in what conditions, and how women should behave afterwards in order to if you start feeling better. Lots of data points in there. You should study this topic, and we should maybe make a program on this.
Question from Stockholm. How should I begin to control the schedule of my life while the amplitude of my spiritual states begin to change? How can I control the schedule of my life together with the changing amplitudes of my states?
The most important thing, try to pay less attention to this. If the Creator is shaking me, and I'm walking on my own path, like on a road with hills, up, down, I'm being pulled, but I always move forward. This is very important. The group must help with this, it must support one on this, and each one must support one another. Otherwise, you are not able to move forward. So to try to create a group in such a manner where you have mutual support and a schedule and with every opportunity that you have, participate in our morning lessons. Or at least try to watch them at another time of the day. Because what we study there, it's a very, very necessary material.
A friend is asking why during a Congress is the time compressed as if years are compressed into 3 days. Why does that happen?
It's not the time that's compressed. It's the intensity of your perception, what you perceive in a Congress. It equates that as though you studied for a year on your own. And it's natural. So we have in 2 months, we're going to have the Israeli Congress. We're going to have 3 days in the desert. And then for 3 more days, we're going to be here in Tel Aviv in a massive exhibition hall, which fits 10,000 people. And we, of course, invite all those interested in coming. The Congress in the desert, we invite only men. Only men are gathering there. And the Congress that's in Tel Aviv, everyone is invited, all men and women, no children, unfortunately. But you will really see what you're going to be able to attain in such a week and in such 3 days, of course. And if you have the means, please write to our management, ask to come visit us. We even now have friends visiting us from different places, and we're very happy to all those who come to us. And we're practically at the end.
A few announcements. First of all, I'll mention when the Congress is happening, from the 19th
that's going to be the
21st
Congress.
Of February. So, and then we have a previous Congress before that, 14th, 15th, 16th. So we're talking about the Congress in the desert, which is the 14th, 15th, 16th, and then the big Congress in Israel, which is on from the 19th to the 21st. A few friends here asked, maybe you have some wishes for the upcoming week and for the year of 2019.
Yeah. I already said about 2008.
Our spiritual, earthly,
and the unity in the 10, in the group, it creates this unit upon which the upper light can influence. And we know, and I have to draw this, with the upper light, it only affects the 10. Or less than 10. And some group of people that are connected amongst one another and connected through these different paths of connection in order to connect and to be in this connection similar to the Creator. So let's reach this. If we are able to reach this, then the upper light shines upon us. It fills us, begins to fill us, and this is how our soul begins to feel the upper light, the spiritual light, the Creator. This only depends on our unity. Let's try to reach this in the new year. I don't really have any other wishes, because unity, it heals, it moves us forward, it gives us a sense of life, soul. It really gives us a sensation of safety, all the positive things in the family, socially, everything. Let's just try to be closer to one another in our hearts. Let's try to realize what we study. Best of luck to all. And of course, a big hello to Santiago, because they're all together with us.
You'll be there soon.
And I hope to see them soon. Goodbye.